What's up, party people? Welcome to another episode of Ghost Ninja Raccoon. This is your intermittently recorded horror movie recap podcast where I, CG, retell you the story or a horror movie or several in 30-ish minutes or less. I do this because I have a tremendous passion for horror movies and I also genuinely enjoy telling abbreviated, colorful motherfucking stories. So this week I'm going to tell you about a couple of movies, but before we get into that, it is November, days before Thanksgiving. The Rona is still strong, people. It's still strong and people still aren't wearing masks, and now we're back re-locked down, not full lockdown, but like medium lockdown for the next several weeks. So you know, everybody just quit being selfish. I mean, I know my rights, but wear a motherfucking mask so we can stop this. Hopefully the vaccine will be out soon and other people can take it, because I'm not taking that first motherfucking vaccine, but other people will take it and then we'll see what happens maybe by next summer. But it looks like it's about to be another long winter in the motherfucking house. I mean, the winter is really the best time to be in the house if you're going to be in the house. But, you know, anywho. So let's start off with the first movie. So the first movie, let me get my phone, that I'm about to tell y'all about is The Omen, the motherfucking original Omen from 1976. So I picked this movie because I was watching it for one of my other podcasts that I actually listened to. And after I was finished watching it, I was like, I don't ever really do like classic movies. I always do like random bullshit. Let me do like a classic movie and see how the fuck that turns out. So I'm doing an Omen. As I said, it is from 1976. It stars Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. Now, when this movie was filmed, Gregory Peck was 60 years old and Lee Remick, who plays his wife, was motherfucker 41. Okay. I mean, he looked old as fuck. So let me give you the synopsis of this movie. Mysterious deaths surround an American ambassador. Could the child that he is raising actually be the Antichrist? The devil's own son? Dun, dun, dun. Yes, the devil's own son. Yeah, but I figure like everybody kind of know that already. So before watching this, now I had seen this as a child, definitely. And I don't know if it was scary to me or not. Probably not. It should have been, because Damien was creepy as fuck. But I'm sure I saw this when I was like 9 or 10. And I haven't really seen it since. I have seen the remake with, what's that dude's name? Shit, I can't fucking remember. Oh, wait, hold up. I'm about to tell you. With Liev Schreiber and Julia Stiles. So Liev was the dad and Julia was the mom. It was just okay. It wasn't like that great, if I'm being entirely honest, especially now that I have rewatched the original and the original was just better. So anyway, as an adult, my pre-ninja rating would have been 4 ninja stars, or was 4 ninja stars. So let me tell y'all about the motherfucking Omen. So this movie opens up on June 6th at 6 a.m. when the ambassador, who is Gregory Peck, the dad. So he's going to either be the ambassador or dad as I go through this. He is on his way to the hospital. His wife is in labor, having a baby. He get there. And so let's also say this is in the 70s where women were sedated during pregnancy sometimes. So this bitch is knocked the fuck out. They took her baby out. He get there. And then we have this evil priest. Now, he don't know the priest is evil, but this motherfucker is evil. And he like, your baby had died though. So I know that's real sad, but guess what? We got this other baby. Look at this baby. This baby is shiny and new. This baby was born at like the exact time that your baby died. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you could just take this baby. This baby ain't got no mama. This baby mama dead. This baby ain't got no family. And since your baby died and this baby mama died, I mean, let me just give you the baby. And then first, you know, the ambassador like, I mean, like, what? And he like, look, this baby even kind of look like your wife. Like, she'll never even know. So he like, bet, sure, wrap this baby up. I'll take this baby to go. So he take this baby, this new baby that he don't know shit about, but this evil priest was like, take this baby. He motherfucking took it. So he takes the baby. He go back with his wife. He like, ooh, look, baby. And then they had this motherfucking new evil baby that they don't fucking know is evil. So life goes on. The baby growing up, he looking all adorable and shit. They taking pictures. They have family. It's great. The ambassador also happens to be BFFs with the president of the United States. And so he get a new job to be the ambassador to the UK. So they move to London. So it's great. The wife is, oh, this is amazing. And part of the reason why he was, you know, like, hey, let's definitely take this new baby is because she really, really wanted kids. And they had been unsuccessful at having some to this point. Probably because he was a motherfucking 60 and his sperm was old as fuck. Whatever. So they get the new baby. I mean, the new baby's great. He's growing up. They got pictures. It's amazing. They in London. Everything's cool until his fifth birthday party. So his fifth birthday party is beautiful. They all at the ambassador palace mansion, whatever the fuck they live in. And he got this nanny. And the nanny seemed a little creepy. She like loved a motherfucking baby. Well, he fat now, Damien. And then an evil dog show up at the party, just like watching the party, Rottweiler. Don't nobody say shit. Ain't no security. Like, where the fuck did this dog come from? He just hanging out, like, looking at shit. So the evil nanny was taking pictures with Damien. And then the mom is like, yo, bitch, that's my baby. So she get Damien and now she taking pictures with him. And so the evil nanny see the dog and the dog get the evil nanny a look. And she like, yeah, I got it. So this bitch go into the house onto like the top floor of the Ambassador Mansion. She opened the windows and she's like, Damien, I love you, Damien. It's all for you, Damien. So everybody at the party turn around, look at this bitch, like screaming her love for a child. And then she jumped out the window and hang herself. Now, this is about 12 to 15 minutes into the movie. So we get an evil motherfucking priest pawning off this evil motherfucking baby on these unsuspecting powerful people. And then his creepy evil nanny kill herself like immediately. So everybody said, oh my God, this is terrible. It's a photographer there, of course, because it's a party. And he's taking the pictures of the first party. And now he's taking pictures of the evil nanny who is now dead. So fast forward, I don't know, days, weeks, whatever, and a new nanny show up. Now, this nanny is even more evil than the first nanny. And if this bitch came to your house, you would have been like, bitch, is you evil, Mary Poppins? Because you look evil as fuck. But they just like, okay, she come and she like, hey, I'm the new nanny. You know, I know that other nanny died. And they like, bad, because we needed a motherfucking nanny. And then both ambassador and his wife was like, yo, bitch, how did you know we needed a new nanny? And she was like, oh, you know, I seen in the paper that y'all nanny had died. And the agency was like, yo, bitch, get over there and support them. And they was like, all right, we're going to call the agency. They didn't motherfucking call. They didn't motherfucking call. So anyway, so now this bitch, the new nanny, she evil as fuck. She like, y'all don't have to introduce me to Damien. I got it. Me and him about to be friends. So when she go talk to Damien for the first time without his parents, because they just let this bitch who literally just walked in their house, neither one of them had heard for, they did not call the agency. She is virtually a stranger. They let her go into the room with their son alone. And then she's like, Damien, I'm here to protect you. And she was. Anyway. So now time moves on. They're about to go to a wedding at a church. And the wife is like, yo, get Damien ready. We're going to this wedding at this church. And evil nanny like, nah, sis. He don't like churches. Like, that's not his shit, you know, because he's motherfucking evil. But she's like, you know, I don't really think this is appropriate for a child. And the mama like, bitch, put his clothes on and get him in the car. So she put his clothes on. She get him in the car. They get to the wedding. Damien act a fucking fool in this motherfucking wedding. He loses his shit on his mom, smacking this bitch in the face, like, lose his shit on her. So now they don't go to the wedding. So now they miss the motherfucking wedding. The photographer there, he taking pictures and shit. He like, this same group. So another scene that I'm not sure if it happened before or after the wedding scene. But this is all of the little creepy shit that's starting to happen after the first nanny kill herself. Damien and his mom going to like a safari drive through zoo, and they driving around. And what was the first animals they ran away from him? It was the giraffes. So he looking at the giraffes out the window all close and shit. And the giraffes look at him like, nah, bruh. And they fucking run away from him. So as they're going through the safari, every time Damien is like, hey, animals. Animal's like, nah, fuck you, bruh. And they is not fucking with him. And then one scene in particular, a whole bunch of baboons like lose their shit when he around and they attack the car. That happened in real life. That was an accident, but they kept that shit in. But anyway, so now the mom is like, something wrong with my motherfucking baby. Like, how much it should be happening, and it only started happening after he turned 5, and I'm just feeling like weird and just uncomfortable about it. So the mom intuition is like, yeah, bitch, your baby evil. But she kind of like, I don't really want to believe that my son is evil, so I'm gonna go to the psychiatrist. The husband is real supportive, ambassador, like, yes, bitch, get your mind checked, like, go do it. So she's seeing a psychiatrist, but also now she having these weird feelings about Damien. Now enter creepy priest. Now this is not the same as the evil priest from Rome. This is a creepy priest that's in London. And he goes to the ambassador like, yo, listen, so fucked up shit has happened. And he like talking all in code, because really if he was just like straight to the point, then he maybe got some traction. But he all in code and like, yo, your baby evil, you need to go to Rome and talk to this dude, and he gonna tell you how to like kill your evil baby because he evil as fuck. And the ambassador's like, bruh, you crazy, like, get out my face. So he of course don't listen to him the first time you talk to him. So let me get to my notes so I make sure I'm in the right place. Okay, so the mom's seeing a psychiatrist and the photographer is randomly showing up places, and then we get the creepy priest comes back again. So now he's catch him outside somewhere. He caught him outside somewhere and he was like, yo, your wife gonna die. Meet me here at like 6 o'clock by some church. And so the ambassador like, fuck, all right, I guess I'm gonna meet him. So he meet him at 6 o'clock. The priest is like, listen, for serious, like, you got to go to Rome and you need to talk to this dude, and he's going to tell you how to kill your son because this motherfucker is evil as fuck and he is the Antichrist, and you got, you know, sold a bill of goods when you was in Rome getting that baby. They fucked you up. And so he like, I mean, I don't know. And priest is like, listen, your wife is pregnant and Damien is not going to let her have that baby. And he going to try to kill the baby, and he going to try to kill your motherfucking wife. And he was like, wait, I thought you said my wife was in danger. He was like, she is in motherfucking danger because your evil ass baby going to kill her. He was like, whatever. So he jets, ambassador jets, and then the creepy priest is outside. He is near church and get all windy and shit. And then he gets killed with the weather vane or a spire or some sharp ass shit fly off the top of the church and essentially javelins through his heart. And he did. So he did. Ambassador gets home. The wife is like all irritated and shit. And she's like, yo, I'm motherfucking pregnant and I do not want this baby. And he's like, what? So she's like, you need to talk to my psychiatrist, because apparently women couldn't make their own decisions back then. But I think during those times, the husband did have to sign off on abortions. So he was like, fine, bitch, I'll talk to your doctor. So he talked to the doctor, and the doctor like, yo, your wife think your baby evil, and I think she is delusional. He probably should have like admitted her into like a psych hospital or something, because she thought the baby was evil and should die. Granted, she was right, but you know, anyway, so the doctor was like, yo, she probably should have an abortion because she is like not in her right state of mind. And, you know, she fucked up right now. And so ambassador like, no, we ain't having no fucking abortion. Now, he is not having the abortion or not approving the abortion kind of out of spite, and also to prove the priest, who I don't think he realizes is dead yet, wrong. So he feel like the priest said that my wife is pregnant and Damien was going to kill my baby, but I'm going to let this new baby be born to prove that my old original backup baby is in fact not evil. So he's like, no, we're not going to have an abortion. So the doctor like, I mean, all right. So he leave, whatever, life goes on. And then the photographer calling him and he's like, yo, some creepy shit is going down. That priest died. I think he saw in a paper that the priest died. And then he ended up talking to the photographer. The photographer's like, yo, the police was like, yeah, you can go into this creepy priest apartment because, you know, he dead and it's over. So the police let the photographer have access to the priest apartment, which he goes in with the ambassador, and they found all these clues and shit. They realized that he is riddled with cancer and he's taking morphine and shit. So that's why he probably came off crazy and was a little bit delusional and unable to form complete sentences to just be like, bro, your baby is evil and you need to kill him. So they find some clues, blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, while they're over there looking for clues, the mom is like watering some plants in her house that she got to stand on the chair to do. Now, granted, you got an evil nanny and a bunch of motherfucking servants. I don't know why this bitch was watering the plants, but on this particular day, she decided she wanted to water the plants. So she watering the plants. Damien riding his tricycle around the house. He ride it into this bitch. She fall down. She falls over the banister about a foot, you know, a floor up. So now this bitch in the hospital. She lost the baby. Her arm all broke up. The ambassador get there and, you know, he find out and he like, damn, I wonder if my baby did die. So he is now getting like really nervous about his fucking baby being a killer. And so him and a photographer, you know, they're a team now. So they like, all right, well, maybe we should listen to what that creepy priest who had died said, and let's go to Rome and like do some investigation. So they get to Rome, and while the photographer had been taking all these pictures, he took pictures of the first evil nanny. Every time the creepy priest was talking to the ambassador, somehow the photographer was fucking around. He must have had GPS on his ass. And so he took pictures of him. And then he inadvertently, while he was investigating his apartment, the creepy priest's apartment, took a picture of himself. And he saw these slash marks around the necks of all the people in these pictures, the nanny, the priest, and himself. So he believes that he himself is also in danger, which is why he has like teamed up with the ambassador. So they get to Rome, they go to the hospital where the where his wife delivered the baby. It was partially burnt the fuck down. And they like, yo, where that motherfucking evil priest who gave me this evil ass baby? Well, he got fucked up in a fire. Like part of his face is all burnt up. He don't talk no more, but he could write. So he write the name of a cemetery. And it's a cemetery where the evil baby's mom is supposed to be buried. So whatever. They're like, all right, we're about to go investigate. So they go to their cemetery, ambassador and photographer. Somehow they don't know what they're doing, but they stumble immediately upon what exactly they're supposed to find. So the photographer finds the grave of the mom. They open that shit up and it's just some jackal bones in there. And so the ambassador is like, I don't know what that is. Let's look at this other grave immediately next to it. Maybe it's my original baby. So he's like, if there's no baby in here, then maybe that means that my real baby didn't die and he out here in this world somewhere. But they open up the grave and his baby in there, and it is dead, and its head is like caved in apart. So he was like, fuck, they killed my motherfucking baby. So now he realized not only did his baby not die, that his baby was fucking killed, and then they pawned off this evil ass baby on him. So they get back to the hotel room. They like, oh shit, this shit's fucked up. I'm trying to think, did the photographer die first and then the wife? Anyway, at some point, so he called his wife and he like, bitch, some shit is fucked up. Oh no, they went to get the knives first. So they go to see the exorcist that the creepy priest in London had told them to go see. Like, he was like, listen, you got to see this motherfucker to really kill this baby. So he get these knives from the dude. He leave out, the photographer's like waiting for him outside. And he's like, listen, he told me I gotta like kill the baby. I have to like kill him. Like he was down with like Damien needs to die, but the fact that he had to do it himself with these evil knives and he got to kill him on hallowed ground. They got to go to church. You got to do it on the altar, all of this fucking shit. And it just kind of made him uncomfortable. He was like, I don't really know if I could do this. He throw the knives. The photographer like, well, if you're not going to kill him, I'm going to kill him. Cause he the antichrist. And if he don't die, then I'm going to fucking die. He go to get the knives. There's a car nearby. The person gets out, doesn't put on his parking brake. The car rolls back, a sheet of glass flies out the car in Final Destination style, cut the photographer's neck off. He's decapitated. So now the ambassador is like, fuck, I'm gonna really have to kill this motherfucking baby. I mean, he's five, but whatever. So also while this is happening, his wife, he had called his wife before they went to get the exorcist knives. He was like, bitch, you need to get the fuck out of there. Some shit is askew. I call my dude at work. He gonna come pick you up from the hospital and, you know, bring you to Rome where I'm at. So she like, bet. But this bitch is fucked up. She got her arm in like one of these big hard casts. Somehow she had on a silky neck. I don't know. But anyway, so she trying to get dressed. While she's trying to get dressed, the evil nanny come in and push this bitch out the window. So she dead. Now, when he get back from the exorcist knives and the photographer getting killed, he get a call that his wife is dead. So now he really like double, triple, fuck. So he get back to London he knowing his hoard of hordes, he got to kill this motherfucking baby now. So the evil dog is hanging around. And I should mention, there were a couple of occasions where the dog is in the house. And he like, where the fuck this dog come from? And the evil nanny's like, oh, Damien love that dog. He like, bitch, get rid of that dog. The bitch do not get rid of the dog. So he get back to the house. He see the dog. He kind of tricked the dog into being in the basement or wherever the fuck. And he going upstairs. The exorcist had told him that Damien would have the mark of the beast on him somewhere. So he would have some 666 somewhere on his body. He cut his hair, it's on his scalp. So he like, great, I gotta kill this motherfucker baby. The nanny busts in, they fight, they tussling. He eventually stabbed this bitch and she die, or she don't die, I don't know, they never talk about her again. And he swooped Damien up and get him in a car. Damien fight, well, I think he might have knocked him out at first, but he kind of fighting him and shit, and he all crazy and driving erratically, and the police start following him. Now, one, he is driving crazy and erratically, and two, his wife did just die mysteriously, like falling out a window. So the police is chasing him. I don't think he really realized the police are chasing him at this time. So he driving crazy. He gets to the church. He dragged Damien in there. He kicking and screaming. He get him on an altar. He like raised the knife up. And Damien's like, no, daddy, don't kill me, daddy. I love you, daddy. And then he hesitates because, you know, he like, is this my son or is it the devil? And in his hesitation, the police see him about to kill his son, and then they fucking shoot him and he die. And so the next scene is a double funeral, which is him and his wife, and Damien is now holding the hands of the principal, and there's a woman, not the principal, the president, and there's a woman standing next to him. I'm not sure if that woman is Evil Nanny 2, if she didn't die, Evil Nanny 3, if they got another one, or if it's the first lady. But like, Damien about to go be with the president and them now, and everybody else got killed. So that's the end. It was great. The atmosphere was really good. I really like how they pulled the story together. The special effects were actually really good for the 70s, because when you use practical effects, that shit just looks better. And it was just so much better than the remake of this film. Yeah, I really liked it. So I would continue. I would give this a 4 Ninja Stars. The only reason I wouldn't give it 5 stars is because they shouldn't have let that evil fucking random nanny just come into their house, and they didn't call her references. They did not call a fucking agency. Like, how you just gonna let some strange bitch come into your crib and be like, yeah, bitch, take care of my son now. So that right there is where they fell down. Granted, I'm sure another evil nanny would have shown up at some point, but they let that evil bitch in their house, and we see what happened. But also, don't just take back up babies. Like, if something happened to your baby, then just go tell your wife, bitch, our baby died, instead of being like, I got this new baby. Look at this baby. This baby just like our old baby. It wasn't. That baby was evil, and that baby that baby killed them. So the moral of this story is, don't fuck with evil babies. I'll be back. Okay, I'm back. So for the second movie, I am going to do something that is not a classic, since we did The Omen for the first movie, and I think horror and non-horror fans could appreciate that film. But this film, I don't really know who would appreciate it. I'm doing 2019 Veronica. It is on Shudder. It's 1 hour and 30 minutes, and it is written, produced, and directed by Glenn Danzig, one of the founders of The Misfits. So let me read the synopsis. Veronica is a creepy, surreal, and bloody trilogy of erotic horror stories culled from Danzig's long-running edgy comic imprint, Veronica. Now on Amazon Prime, it has 3 out of 5 stars with 445 votes. Literally everyone who worked on this film must have voted. On IMDb, it has 1.9 out of 10. So going in, reading the synopsis, I gave it a pre-Ninja Star rating of 3 stars because it is an anthology film. It is erotic horror. I don't know that I've ever seen an erotic horror film, but it seemed like it would be interesting. My post rating is going to be a little bit different. Let's get started. All right. We start out with our wraparound story, which really isn't a story. It's just kind of a host. And she's being more like a fake Elvira, right? She's walking. She's sexy. She got on her sexy outfit. And then there is a woman who is restrained. I can't remember if she's chained or whatever, but she was restrained standing up. And fake Elvira pokes her eyeballs out with her super sharp razor blade fingernails and we start the movie. So the first story I'm calling Evil Spider. I don't know what the real name is. It is honestly irrelevant. We open up with a plant and a CGI spidering around in the fucking plant. It's got a big juicy spider booty, like the kind of spider, if it was in my house, I would be scared to kill it, but I would have to kill it because I would be so afraid that if I didn't kill it, it would get me. So anyway, spider in the plant, and then we see a woman and a man on the tiniest love seat of life, and she's giving him head, although his pants not down and his dick is not out. So he tell her, come up to me, boo. They start kissing. And then very quickly, it progresses to he ready to smash. So he's trying to take her shirt off quite aggressively. And she's like, no. Also, these people are French, but speaking in English. I don't know why they're French. They could have just been English, but, you know, artistic choices. So she's like, no, please, stop it. So he's aggressively trying to take her shirt off. I'm like, we really gonna start off with a sexual assault in the first 4 minutes? I mean, I guess I should have expected such a thing after that girl immediately got her eyeballs poked out with fingernails. So he's trying to aggressively take her shirt off. She's fighting against him. And then when he gets her shirt off, because he does succeed, we see that she was not trying to not have sex with him, but she has eyeballs on her titties where her nipples would be. And clearly this is going to give some men pause. He freaks out and leaves immediately. She is now devastated. She starts crying. She's really upset about this. Her neighbor comes down and her neighbor's like, oh, it is okay, Dajette. Do not be sad. You are so beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. So she's going back and forth with her friend. We're going to call her Eyeball Tits. Eyeball Tits is like, you know, every time I meet somebody nice, he was so cute. I really liked him. I don't know if she really liked him. Maybe she just really wanted to smash, but I'm not sure what a good way is of letting somebody know that you don't have nipples, you have eyeballs. So, you know, she is going to be at a marked disadvantage as a result of that. Anywho, her friend's like, girl, listen, you got the photo shoot tomorrow. Like, get some rest. Don't be upset. Like, it'll be fine. So, great. Friend bounce. Eyeball Tits is still sad and she crying. And then her eyeball tits cry. And one of the tears from her eyeball tit dropped on the spider. Now, the spider is like her subconscious come to life, but he only come to life when she sleep. So I guess she kind of sleep. I don't know. When he come out, he get all big and stuff, and it's a dude, and it's like spider costume and spider makeup, and his costume is using his arms as two of his spider legs, and then he's got two additional arms kind of connected to this suit thing that he's wearing, and then his legs are making up the rest of the spider legs, right? Looks ridiculous. So he's like, yo, I'm your subconscious, and when you go to sleep, I get to come out and live my best life. So I guess she sleep, and then evil spider goes and kill her friend. She wake up and she's like, oh no, what has happened? What has happened? She run down to her friend's room and she's her apartment, and she see her friend hung up from the ceiling with air quotes spider webs. So she's devastated-ish. And then we go to the next day, the day of the photo shoot. So Eyeball Tits at the photo shoot. She's not taking pictures. She's sitting down, I guess, relaxing, or it's not her turn. The other models are taking pictures. They're terrible. The photographer's terrible. Everyone's terrible. She falls asleep. This time while she falls asleep, evil spider wake up. He out on the streets this time. Now, I'm not exactly sure how his location is determined. Do he just get to be wherever he want to be, or he get to be where she want to be? I have no idea. The first time he came out, he was where she was, and now this time he out on the streets looking for hoes. So he finds a street worker, a sex worker, and he's like, yo, what's up? And, you know, she's like, oh, what can I get for you today? And he's like, well, first, I want to fuck you in the ass. And she's like, oh, ass fuck is my specialty. Then he's like, and then I want to break your neck. And she's like, what, huh? I hope you're joking. He wasn't joking. He break her neck. Eyeball Tits wake up from the photo shoot. She's like, oh, no, it has happened again. It is happening. The models are thinking she's hysterical and sad because of her friend being murdered, which she was sad, but she still had went to work. And they're like, oh, she's just upset. And the photographer's like, fine, let's just cancel the rest of this because I can't work under these conditions. So she leaves and she's like, I need to find some place that I can relax. And so she goes to a porn theater. Apparently, it's super relaxing. So she gets to the porn theater, she's watching a porn, and of course, she starts to fall asleep. It's about three dudes in the movie with her, watching her fall asleep. So she falls asleep. Eva's about to come out, and this time he is fucking somebody in the ass, probably because he had already wanted to do that. And then while she's sleeping, the creepy dudes in the porn movie with her decide, let's rape her, right? So they start trying to assault her, which makes her wake up, and she's like, stop it, stop it. And then Evil Spider can then not finish what he was about to do, because he was fucking the lady, but he didn't get a chance to kill her because Eyeball Tits woke up. So he was pissed. So now Eyeball Tits is like, this has got to stop. I got to put an end to you killing people when I go to sleep. So she go home. She call the police. She's like, yo, it's a murder at this address. Y'all need to come immediately. So hang up. She take a whole bunch of pills, sleeping pills. I don't know, whatever. She take a whole bunch of pills. And then, of course, she fall asleep. As soon as she falls asleep, Evil Spider come, and this time he's there at her apartment. Like, I don't know why he couldn't have been somewhere else this time, but he was at her apartment, and the police break in, and they're like, oh, this must be the murderer. They kill the spider, okay, and well, they shoot the spider, and then as he's dying, he's like, wake up, you bitch, I'm dying. But she don't wake up because she is also dying because she had to go on pills. So spider die. The police see Eyeball Tits on the ground, and then they're like, oh my gosh, she got an eyeball tit. No one says anything about the fact that they just killed a giant person-sized spider. Like, that's just, we just gonna let that slide. But this bitch on the floor got an eyeball tit. Seriously. And then that's it. That's the end of the first story. And so then we jump straight to fake Elvira, and she says some shit about eyeball tits. I don't know what. And then we go right into the next story. The next story is called Mystery Girl, and it opens with, air quote, Mystery Girl, a woman in a cape with a face on her face, but it looks just like her face. What, I can't really describe this makeup to you. It's, I can't describe it. So she is at the opening of an underbridge tunnel type situation, and there's a woman under the bridge, and Mystery Girl's like, ooh, I love your face, it's so beautiful, I want it. And the girl is like, oh no. And the Mystery Girl is like, but I want your face, it's so beautiful. And the girl is like, oh no. And then whoosh, real quick, Mystery Face cut her fucking face off. Mystery Girl, sorry, cut her face off. So she cut off her face and she bounced. So the next scene is at a strip club, and we have the most lackluster strippers I've ever seen. These bitches did not want to come to work today. I don't know if it's like Black Friday, it's a day after Christmas. I don't know. They're not interested in working today because they are barely dancing. But we get whole songs of these lackluster strippers dancing, which is pretty much the bulk of this particular story. So coming to the stage, the highlighter, the headliner is Mystery Girl. Mystery Girl come out. She got on a cape. She got a mask on half her face, like she knew it was Corona, but you know, whatever. She got a mask on her face because she's Mystery Girl also. She got skull pasties on and like her look, you know, underwear, G-strength on, whatever. She doesn't take any clothes off. She come out like in this outfit, and then she don't even take her pasties off. So isn't, I mean, I don't know. I guess I've never been to a strip club with a headliner. So I don't know if they supposed to strip or they just come out already naked and just dance around. It's irrelevant. Her dancing was mediocre at best. While she dancing, the police discover the woman whose face she cut off. The police are like, ain't no evidence, ain't no clues, we got nothing, right? So we get back to Mystery Girl. She get off work. She go to the crib. She at home with, like, in her dressing room. And you see all the faces on the wall of other bitches' faces she done cut off. All these faces look exactly the same. She talking to the faces. She like, y'all, I'm about to go get y'all a new face real soon. So she also then takes off the face she is currently wearing. And we see a very slight disfigurement on her cheek, as though maybe she was in a fire, something exploded. I don't know. But it's really not a big disfigurement. Like she is still pretty beautiful, just like a little bit on her cheek, you know. But apparently, the way it happened, she has some trauma related to this thing on her face. Maybe she had it since birth. It really got her all fucked up because she felt like she needed to cut bitches' faces off. I think she could have just went to some therapy and like some hardcore intensive therapy, right? She might have had to get her family involved, but she really don't need to kill bitches to cover up this thing on her face. But she felt like she do. Anywho, so she tell the faces, I'm about to go get y'all a new face, and she bounce. So she go to somebody's house, she ring the bell, she come in. This woman is like, what are you doing here? I did not call maintenance. This woman is the worst actress ever of life. And but she do got big ass titties, so that's probably why she was in this. Mystery girl, like, yo, bitch, you look a bit beautiful. I want your face. Girl is like, seriously, don't come in here with that bullshit. Mystery girl, like, no. For real, for real. I want your face. The girl is like, no. They fight. Mystery girl knock her out, cut her face off. Bombs. The girl do not die immediately, which I feel like if somebody cut your face off, you probably would. Or the girl in the alley died immediately. So whatever. But she's standing up and she's like, oh no, oh my God, my face, my face. And then she did. Mystery girl bounce. She go to work, right? She got another show. It's her day today. So the police get to this place. They like, oh my God, we got another woman whose face is missing. What is going on? And a female detective sees a card from the strip club on the floor and they're like, oh, the killer must work here. Let's go investigate. So they go investigate at the strip club. They get there and the police, the main detective was like, oh, where is Mystery Girl? We're looking for Mystery Girl. I don't know how he immediately made the leap that Mystery Girl was potentially the murderer, but he knew straight as soon as they got there that Mystery Girl was the person. Maybe her name was on a card. I don't remember. I can't go back to those details. It's irrelevant. He get there, he immediately is looking for Mystery Girl. One of the other strippers, Mystery Girl is on stage at this time. One of the other strippers goes to tell her, yo, girl, the police is here trying to get you, so you should raise up. So she's like, bet, thank you, stall them, I'm a bounce. She leave. She doesn't leave the building. She just leave the stage. And the girl immediately rats her out, like, oh, she went that way. Did not give her very much time. So now the cops are about to chase her down, but only the main cop ends up in this darkened room where apparently she's hiding. It looks like, you know, if you was in somebody's basement and they just turned all the lights out except for this one spotlight that was shining on you. So he is in the basement like, Mystery Girl, I'm gonna take you down. And then she come up behind him and slice him on the cheek. And he is really upset about that. And then they kind of tussle a little bit and she run and he shoot her in the stomach. He don't chase her. He don't chase her. She run, he shoot her. And then he's just like, I'm gonna get you, you C word. He called her a cunt. He don't get her. She run, escapes. And then the very last scene of this story is coming to the stage, our newest headliner, Secret Lady. It wasn't Secret Lady, but it was something to the equivalent of Secret Lady. And this time in her dancing, she does have a pasty. She got the cape. She got a new mask. Okay, maybe she got the N90 mask. And she has a wound on her stomach from the bullet from where she was shot. Now, the wound on her stomach looks a lot similar to the wound that was on her cheek, but she was okay not covering that up. So I don't know, maybe part two is her stealing stomachs. Who knows? That was the end of that one. Then we get back to Fake Elvira, and I don't even remember what the fuck she was talking about. I think she was in a blood bath, which was setting us up for the last story, Blood Queen. We start this movie with a queen. She rubbed blood all on her face. Like, you know, it's face moisturizer. And then immediately we jump to her going through town on her horse with her caravan of soldiers and whoever the fuck, because she need to go pick out some virgins because this is her shit. So she riding on horses. They looking at all the virgins. They find some virgins they like. They pay for them. They buy them. They bounce. They got these virgins. They gone. These families is like, yes, take my virgin. I don't think they thought that the queen was gonna kill their virgins. Spoiler alert. But she was. So she buys these virgins. They get back to the castle. The queen is sitting on her throne staring at grapes for a ridiculously long period of time while her number two is getting the virgins ready for virgin selection. Okay. So number two is telling the virgins, like, you know, get yourself cleaned up, like, take a bath, put these clothes on, because it's about to be virgin selection time. So the virgins get ready. The queen stops looking at grapes, and she go to pick a virgin for her first ceremonial thing of the night. She pick a virgin out. They take this bitch to a giant tie her up, slit her wrist, bleed her into the bathtub. The blood queen take a bath in her blood. After that, well, while she's still in the blood bath, the second virgin of the night she picked, they bring her over to the edge of the tub so the queen can slit her throat and get a blood facial, like, all on her face, because apparently she lived all on her face. Now, I'm going to tell you this story real quickly, but understand that every time the queen is doing some blood stuff, it's like 5 minutes. So she was literally in this bath just rubbing blood all over her body and just rubbing blood all over her face with this blood facial for fucking ever. She got out the bath. She in her room. She looking at her face. She's like, oh, I look so beautiful. Do my skin look better? Like, oh, am I better? Am I better? Her number two is like, yes, queen. Yes, you look amazing. Your skin so taut. Blood queen is like, bet. I still need some of blood, though. So she's got all of her other virgins just strewn about the castle in various ways and situations for her to just go get their blood at her leisure. So one of the queen virgins is hanging upside down somewhere. Queen go over to her, slit her throat, another blood facial because she loved it in the face, apparently. After that, virgin dies. The queen goes for a midnight ride on her horse out to the woods, and she want to hook up with her wolf friend for a little bit. So she like, hey, Wolfie, like, where you at? This wolf come out of fucking nowhere, randomly. She get a wolf some virgin meat. And she's like, yo, wolf, bring me somebody else. Wolf don't bring nobody else. He just leaves. It was just a random wolf scene for 2 minutes for literally no fucking reason. So she go back to the castle. She get on her throne. She's like, I need another virgin. This virgin they bring. They put her on her lap. She don't want the blood of this virgin. This virgin, she want to eat her heart. She cut her open down the sternum, pull out a gigantic heart that would not in any way be the heart of this young, thin virgin that's sitting on her lap. And then she fucking eat it. So she eat that virgin heart up while she over here eating hearts. One of the other virgin escapes. Okay. She running. She done got out the castle. She running through the woods near to the area where the wolf was, but the wolf didn't catch her. The guards catch her. She get caught by the guards. They bring her back. It's kind of like sunrise now. And so they don't kill her outside. They put her down like on a chopping block, and then they cut her head off. And like the number two was like, yes, cut her head off. I don't know why she was so fucking excited, but she was lit about the head chopping. And then the queen's like, ah, yes, another virgin. And she pick up her head and she like look at it. And she probably rubbed some blood on her face. I can't remember specifically, but I'm sure she did. And then she takes this head back to her trophy room of heads because she got a whole bunch of other virgin heads in here. I don't know if she normally, with all of the other virgins after she murders them, if she takes all of their heads or if she just takes specific heads. Because I wouldn't be able to tell you of the virgins who were killed, how many of their heads were there besides the one she literally just took. So she take this head back to her room and she kind of hold it up like, hey, y'all about to get a new friend. Here goes some head. And then that's it. And I fucking went off. And that was the last story. And then we have Fake Elvira in the tub of blood, just like rubbing blood on herself for 2 minutes until the movie fucking go off. And that was the end. So we had the first story, which is Eyeball Tits has a subconscious of evil spider that kills bitches. We have a mystery girl who has some self-esteem issues and thus steals faces. And then we have a blood queen who is obsessed with getting old and like to bathe in the blood of virgins. That was pretty much all of the stories. Post ninja rating, I'm giving it 1 star. I would give it 0 stars, but I do have to give it at least a star because all of the women were beautiful and that eyeball tits thing was kind of crazy. I'm not sure if they were all porn stars or strippers. None of them were real professional actors because they were all terrible. They were all terrible. I think the guy who played the lead detective was in Karate Kid Part 3, but he was equally as terrible. So I would like to apologize. This episode is going to be like 40-ish minutes, but it was some really important stuff that I had to get in there and some details that were necessary for the telling of this ridiculous ass story. I really thought about making my friends watch this with me on like a horror movie night, but I think they might get mad. I'm not sure. I'll play it by ear, but I'll let y'all know if I do and what their response was. So if you enjoyed listening to me tell you about The Omen and Varatika, then please listen to the next episode and suggest a film that maybe you don't want to watch and you want me to tell you about by emailing me at ghostandraccoon@gmail.com or finding me on Twitter or Instagram. If you did not like this retelling of these two films, then don't listen to the next one because you're probably not going to like that one either. It's going to be very similar, but just with a different movie. Anywho, I enjoyed telling you about this, and I hope to see that you had listened to it. Until next time, be safe.